We have to get a sense of Harvey Milk as the grassroots organizer, this former banker from New York, older than most of the hippies and older than most of the gay men who saw San Francisco as a mecca, came in with a ponytail, having just ripped up his Bank America card, completely fish out of water in the Western scene, right? Completely fish out of water in the Castro community, which is the gay community, and is and was for sure back in the day. We needed to represent that, but we also needed to represent Harvey, the human rights activist, and Harvey, the campaigner. And then, of course, Harvey, the board of supervisor, the supervisor who was elected in 77.
I guess maybe in the past 10 years, maybe Harvey Milk has become more in the public consciousness of this generation with the movie. What it means for something in the South where maybe it's not as prevalent, say, as San Francisco or New York City or some of the larger sections in the United States. What it means to have something like this to kind of inform people about what it's like to go through this level of civil rights.
It's interesting because so many social movements, and actually I might make the argument that almost every social movement across time in U.S. history has icons, has key moments, has key struggles. So for someone like Harvey Milk, having that kind of iconology or iconography that surrounds him, he becomes, like you just mentioned, he becomes inspiration. And when you have someone like that, when you have a prototypal person who is sometimes martyred, in his case, just like King, martyred, they give hope. They inspire hope. And it's sort of coincidental, I guess, that that was his moniker. He ran on hope. His most famous speech was, "You got to give him hope." His most famous slogan was, "You have to have hope."
Does the movement have to have icons to take off? Do they have to exist at the time? Do you have to be aware of those icons? Or for it to survive, you have to make sure those icons are built up, if that makes sense.
Right. I don't know if a movement necessarily needs icons in order to survive, but I think in order to be somewhat successful, in order to legitimize itself publicly, and also to cohere itself internally, because movements have an external and internal dynamic or dynamics that work together, I think that those icons help out. They allow for a shared history and a shared past. They allow for folks to recognize trauma and to recognize tragedy. But even out of trauma and tragedy comes hope, right? And so icons are incredibly helpful to both get a group together and to help formulate that identity, to constitute the people of that movement.
This generation, are they too reliant on what's happened? Are there people who are burdened with being that icon for this generation moving forward?
Okay. I don't know if there's any one particular person that's burdened with that. Harvey Milk's nephew, Stuart Milk, is someone who's sort of taken some things on his shoulders, not just because of the familial and sort of genetic lineage, right, the heritage lineage, but he's taken some of these on himself. And that's where you hear people say, you know, what would Harvey do? In Harvey's name, Harvey lives. They're looking for someone to sort of take the mantle up from. But so much of the contemporary issues, again, are about coalition. And it's really difficult to move forward in any kind of social change without allies, without legitimizers, both in the dominant public and in subaltern groups that are in similar situations. There's something to be said about shoulder-to-shoulder joint oppression because it allows for the sharing of ideas and tactics to move forward.